Well, greetings. What's your name? This woman is great. She's fantastic. She comes up to me and she says, I prayed for you, and if you mess up, it's your fault. So she threw it back on me. How many here, what's the first question I normally ask? How many have prayed for me? Raise your hand. How many have prayed? Those who didn't pray, put your hands down. Those who didn't pray, raise your hand. So if I mess up, it's your fault. I mean, seriously, right? How many here, raise your hand. How many pray for this man, this gentleman over here? Right? If he messes up, it's your fault. Because I know Pastor John, and he means well. He wants to serve God. So it's not him. It's on you. Now, it's interesting that, you know, we have all these faces, and you can see one man. You can see Pastor John, or you can see the preacher, right? But he has to look back at you. And he has to say, God, this is what you want me to work with? So we need to really uphold our pastors. They have an awesome responsibility in a very secular world. And they're upholding the task. So I just want to really encourage you to continue to do that. If you get nothing else out of what I share, we need to be upholding Pastor John. We need to be praying for him. And in any situation that you're in, that you happen to know a pastor years ago, some pastor ministered to you, he's somewhere else, pray for him. Uphold him before God. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Now, if you were Solomon Islanders, I'd ask, there's a thing called unity. Are you familiar with unity prayer? Not many. Okay, in the Solomon Islands, when they pray, it's called unity prayer, and they all pray out loud at the same time. And it becomes a riot. My poor wife, I've got a loud voice, and she was next to Pastor Roy Funo, and he's Solomon Islander, and we began to pray unity prayer, and she's looking for the exit. So I'm going to ask you to pray, but since it's not your culture, you don't have to pray aloud. I would like you to pray quietly in yourself, talk to God right now, and give this time back to Him, because we can come and go through a routine and a ritual, and we come and we sit, and then later on, we don't know why we came. You know, they're not playing golf right now. That's why I'm here. The waves are not very good, so I'm not surfing. So I'm going to give you a bit of time. Just go to God and pray in your own private self and give the time back to God. Amen. Well, my son is not here, obviously. He got this horrendous cough. He sounds like a dog barking. So he was sick. So if I fall asleep, I haven't slept in like about 3 days. So if I fall asleep during the sermon, just continue without me. Please pray for Ramon. He's really hurting. It's become asthmatic in his lungs, and so he would have loved to be here, but we left him at home. The first thing is, for many of you and those who didn't get one, I gave you $100 this morning for showing up. Now, you don't get oftentimes to get $100 for coming to church, but normally you give, but I thought I'd turn this around. What I'm doing, what's the word? I even looked it in the dictionary. I think I wrote it down. What's that? Epiphany. Yeah. Epiphany. So that's when when something finally clicks, when you finally get it. So I looked up in the dictionary what the word epiphany means, and it gave us a secular meaning, which meant, well, finally when some, you finally get it. But here's another thing. In the secular dictionary, it said when the gospel went to the Gentile, in the secular dictionary. So the epiphany has some link to spiritual things. So you know, and it's embarrassing sometimes that you go through life and you see this thing. You guys play golf and you notice somewhere it teaches you that you ought to do something different, and then you start doing it, and it's going in that little hole. Or ladies, when you're cooking, you know, you've cooked this same meal, and all of a sudden some other gal tells you, you ought to do this. And then you get this epiphany, and it tastes better. Lately, I've loved chicken soup, and I found out that if you take salt and you wash the chicken real good with salt and then rinse it off, the soup tastes better. But sometimes in common sense, you get something, and then you're so embarrassed. With me, I finally get it, I'm embarrassed that I got it. Because it just seems so, how come you didn't get that before? And you're not kind of, you don't want to share it with anybody because, you know, like when you're in a group and you're kind of excited about this, but you're afraid to say it because, you know, they're going to think you're an idiot. Well, lately something has happened to me. There was an old philosophy among the navigators that used to say that friendship evangelism has a longer mortician rate. I mean, you last longer. People who get saved through friendship evangelism has a tendency to walk with God over a longer period of time. And so for years, I stayed away from doing track ministry. Because, but then it occurred to me, wait a minute, that's not a scientific study. Because if you give a track to someone, you don't follow him up. You don't know where he goes, whether he takes the track and throws it into rubbish, or he takes the track and he comes to know the Lord. Remember I shared with you about the fellow named Frank Jenner? Remember the Frank Jenner story? That he lived in Sydney. He was the white-haired man from Sydney, and he would go up to people, and he had such a simple ministry. I love this guy. He'd come up and say, excuse me, I hope you don't mind. Have you considered eternity? It's either heaven or hell. Please think about it. And then he'd give him a tract. That was it. That was the whole ministry. And he did that for several years to finally another guy who was a preacher on styles of evangelism tracked him down and found out hundreds had come to know the Lord. And some of them were missionaries. And all he said was, excuse me, I hope you don't mind. Have you considered eternity? It's either heaven or hell. Please consider it. And then he gave him a tract. And then we're familiar with Eternity Man? We're familiar with Arthur Stace? Now, I love this guy, Arthur Stace. And if I had another child, I'd call him Arthur. This guy was brilliant. Because God told him, in Sydney, the suburb, next day, sorry about that, I won't fall over dead. But you know what, I get asthma and I cough and I tell people, I'm not going to fall over dead one day, maybe from the pulpit I'll die and then they'll call me a liar. so he would go through the suburbs of Sydney and he'd write with a chalk on the ground, eternity. And then a couple of, 50 yards down the road, yards, meters, he'd write, eternity, and did it all through Sydney. And find at the change on the Sydney Bridge, the turn of the century, they had what? Eternity, right? Well, some guy, listen to this, this is beautiful. Some intellectual went up to him and said, well, what does eternity mean? You know, some academic wants to argue with him. You know what he said? You know what Arthur Stace said? He said, I don't know. God told me to write it. Man, I love this guy. Because we get caught up in trying to defend ourselves. And there's a thing called apologetics. And I remember old Baptist pastor, he says, I ain't apologizing for nothing. No, apologetics means we're trying to explain it to people who don't understand. But Arthur Stace said, I don't know. God told me to write it. And he did, faithfully. Well, what we've decided to do is we launched a new ministry called Beautiful Feet Australia. Beautiful, because that comes from two portions of Scripture, and Isaiah 52:7 and Romans 10:14 and 15. It said, beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel. So what we decided to do, and I've got several tracks. This one here has a $100 bill. And on the top of the bill, it says free gift. So you're walking down Queen Street Mall, and you see kind of this old, ugly guy. And he says, excuse me, could I give you that? And most of the people, Aussies are fairly polite. And most of the time, they'll take it, right? And in it, it explains the gospel. Now, this one's mine. There's a $1 million track that you, some of you might have seen. And then there's another $100 track that 513 writes. This is my message on this one. And so I give it out. And since Christmas, I've been able to give out 20,000 tracks. 20,000 people in Queen Street Mall have been confronted with the gospel. Now, you might say, well, are they going to read it? I don't know. That's not my job. My job is to give them the gospel, right? And then some argue, thank you very much. She's only doing that because she wants a crown. Right? Because the Bible says if you give someone a drink of water in my name, you know, she's just trying to get the crowns out, but she probably has a lot already. So, 20,000. And it's counting. I mean, it's above 20,000. And so we've handed out tracts. Now, some people say, well, you don't know whether they take it or not. But again, that's not my job. My job is just to share the gospel. Right? And my job, another thing, my job is not to argue with people. I've stopped arguing. When I was a young Christian, they'd say, well, what, you know, can God make a, listen to this. Are you ready for this? They say, can God make a rock that he can't move? And they used to argue that. Think about that argument. Can God make a rock that he can't move? They're trying to question God's authority. I mean, because the question is a trick, right? Or where did Cain's wife come from? I don't believe the Bible. Where's Cain's wife come from? An old Baptist preacher said, that's the problem with men. They're always worrying about somebody else's wife. And so I would get all hot and bothered, and I'd try to argue the Dead Sea Scrolls and the last days, you know, look at Israel, the last days, and get all sweaty, or, you know, argue against Genesis. You know, who's it, Dawkins says, anybody who doesn't believe in evolution is ignorant, stupid, or insane. Dawkins said that. You know what God said? For the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So God says that Dawkins is either an idiot, stupid, or insane. So we've done that, and over 20,000 tracks. Now, it's scary. I mean, you know, I used to be able to fight pretty good, right? And I'm kind of old now. It's getting gray. I guess I'm slow. But, I'm from New York City, and I can throw hands. But it's scary to walk over there and hand out tracks to complete strangers. You know, and they're, you know. And well, we've had some good conversations. And the numbers are on my side. Out of giving out 20,000 tracts, the percentage is somebody right now has come to know the Lord. Right now, somebody. And I don't know who they are. And the other question is, we have a whole argument. They do that to us theologians, quote, Arminian versus Calvinism. Free will versus selection. Selection says that God knew ahead of time. Free will emphasizes God's free will. But you know, John 3:16 handles it, right? We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever, say that, whosoever, one more time, whosoever, you don't know. It's none of your business. Your business is just to be obedient. And God's going to work it out. You know, I remember one talking to one guy and I shared something with him. And years later, 2 years later, he came back to me and says, I had assumed he already knew this issue because he was an elder's son. And he came back to me 2 years later and said, excuse me, Ram, I need to admit something to you. That which you shared me, I didn't know, but I learned at that time. So you don't know. You don't know what your influence is. And isn't it a privilege? Isn't it a privilege that I've got the gospel? When you hear all the stuff, you know what Monica and I did? We got rid of the TV. Because the nonsense, good grief, Are you out of your, they're all either stupid, insane, or out of their mind. You believe that? I've got the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. Monica said, we're all on health food right now and trying to eat well. But a little while back, you know how wives say stuff to you, right? And you kind of, and she says, you only got 10 years to live. And then I said, wait a minute. I'm going to buy that. What if you knew, you found out that your doctor said, you've only got 10 years to live? What if he told you that? How do you live then? Do you live the same way you live? I decided not to. I've only got 10 years to live. Then I'm out of here. Now I have an opportunity to invest in God, to invest in Queen Street Mall, to invest in the intellectual, the atheist, and share Jesus with him. So I'm excited. I'm excited in here like an 18-year-old, but I don't look like it on the outside. So that's my assumption. I got 10 years to live. Okay, this is the what I call beautiful feet Australia illustration. The navigators like to use hand illustrations, the word hand, prayer hand. And I said, so what about the feet? Nobody uses the foot. And so this is the foot illustration, and I'd like to share it a little bit with you. How many brought a Bible? Okay, for the rest of you, repent. The Bible's a good book, and it's God's love letter to you, right? You need to read the book. How many have read the Bible, the whole Bible from cover to cover? Okay, not a lot. You know, why? What are you so busy doing? What? Home and away? Water rats? Is that what you're doing? You know, God spoke to you from the Word of God. Can you speak English? How many can read English? Raise your hand. Right? Right? Well, you got the Bible in English. How many have the Holy Ghost? I hope you're all going to raise your hands. So the Holy Ghost can help me read English. I can read Spanish too. And the Bible can speak to me. So just encourage you to do that. So you got Isaiah 52:7, beautiful. I ought to take my shoes off and show you how beautiful my feet are. The pastor's saying, no, no. And I think he's afraid of the smell is what it is. So beautiful feet, Australia. God gives you beautiful feet when you present the gospel. 20,000 tracts. And we're not big. We have three groups that do it. And they're just, what, seven at most. Just recently we had Emma got a bunch of girls to go. And was it Saturday? They passed out 800 tracts. And they did it. They were afraid to go up to strangers. So what they did is letterbox. I mean, anybody can go like that. Right? So they did letterbox tracks, right? And then Grace, she did 1,000, and she lost 1.5 kilos. So we're thinking of, you know how you have fad diets? So we're thinking of doing this like fad diet, lose weight and share the gospel. You know, you can see it. You know, on the YouTube page, how to lose weight, you know, and still share the gospel, right? And so we'll get you in on it and help you to lose some weight. 1.5 kilos, she did 1,000 tracks. So point number one, these are, first of all, before we get into the illustration, these are two interesting verses, Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 29:25. They kind of, it's interesting comparison. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Well, I'm King James guy. And in the old days, when people said the fear of the Lord, it meant the fear of the Lord. You know, things were, you know, we weren't real smart, you know. And then later on, they told me it's reverence, respect, and awe. Right? Well, then if you go to Proverbs 29:25, it said, the fear of a man is a trap. The fear of man is a trap. Well, if fear is, what is it? Reverence, trust and awe, then does that mean that I have reverence, trust, and awe to a man? Because I'm afraid he's going to look at me when I share the gospel? Jeremiah said, don't be afraid of their faces. So that's an interesting comparison. Is Jesus that important to you that you're willing to share? Now, I want to say this. That's the disclaimer. Disclaimer is on the bottom. It's written in small letters. I'm not telling you to go with me to Queen Street Mall and pass out tracts. But what I am saying is, how about your uncle? You know the uncle who comes over at Christmas and knocks everything over? You know, and always wants to borrow some money? You know, right? We all got that guy. Uncle Ned. Right? You can't get away from it. Right? And how about your sister? How about your child? Some of you had children who don't know Jesus yet. How about your neighbor? Right? How about the gal at 7-Eleven who stands there behind the counter? Hello, how are you? Hello. Right? She needs Jesus. And we can't assume that she has it. So we need to get over the fear and just share. And the thing is, you don't have to argue. You don't have to do a theological. You know, how many here are theologians? Raise your hand. Okay, everybody raise your hand. You're all theologians. Because you know what theologian is? One who studies God. If you've accepted Jesus in your heart, he is now doing a college in your life. It's a, what do they call that when you don't go to the school that they send the information? What's that? Yeah. So that's what you guys are doing. And it's the gospel according to Ram. Right? God is doing a study. So we're all theologians. And so let's look at number one. The thumb. The thumb, not the thumb. The thumb of the foot. The big toe. That's Acts 1:8. And it says, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come unto you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Gympie, Tin Can Bay, and in Bray Park. Isn't that what it says? Right? It says all over the world. And would you start where you are? In your neighborhood? And you go on. Acts 1:8. And you shall receive power. After this, the Holy Ghost has come unto you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, there's a big argument between two groups of religious bodies today on what do you have to do to receive the Holy Ghost. Right? Some say this, some say that. I say the proof is, are you a witness? Because the verse says, and you shall receive power. After this, the Holy Ghost has come to you, and ye shall be witnesses. So let's go back. It's called reverse psychology. Do this in slow motion. Right? And you shall receive what? Power. After that, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, and then we'll be witnesses. So if you're not a witness, maybe you don't have the Holy Ghost yet. Huh? Or probably we're not letting the Holy Spirit do his job. Because we all have the Holy Spirit in us. And we just need to share. And you don't have to have, if somebody comes up to you and shares some hard questions, you know what? As a Christian, I don't have to know. I just say, I don't know. In 1965, I asked Jesus to come in my heart, and he's been faithful ever since. But I don't know about that. I don't have to know everything. You know what I used to do? When people would ask me a hard question, I would like, and then I'd open my mouth real wide and stick my foot in it. It's okay not to know all of that stuff. There's a lot of stuff, right? I appreciate Pastor John, you started this morning by reading scripture. I remember the tradition of that where you start with the book. There's a lot of stuff in here, right? And I don't know all of it. I'll tell you what I do know. You ready for this? In 1965, a born-again Jew went to an acid party. I had $200 in my pocket. I was thinking about LSD. The Jew told me, try Jesus in your life. I asked him to come in my life 2 weeks later, almost considered suicide. And I debated either suicide or Jesus. Well, I chose Jesus. I don't have to know all of the stuff. I might over a period of time, and if I find out, share it. But what do I need to know? What's the important thing? That I have a relationship with Jesus Christ and that he loves me. Let me give you a question. Some of you look like I'm talking too much. You're like sleepy. Let me wake you up a little bit. Let me ask you a deep theological question. What was... See, the unfortunate thing is I'm Puerto Rican. And Puerto Ricans talk a lot. And I'm really enjoying myself. And you're sitting there and saying, I hope this guy stops. I got the turkey cooking in the rooster. I got the pot roast. Today's pot roast day. You know, I wish he'd shut up. You know, but I got to share some stuff with you. And what was the point I was making before I started being silly? My wife, I keep her to keep me on track. Okay, the point is we don't have to know all of it. All we have to know is Jesus. And if you know that, just share that. And some guy argues, well, blah, 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 right? I says, I don't know. But I do know that I didn't commit suicide in 1965. Right? Let me give you an example. I had this big guy. It was an Aboriginal fella, real tall, big guy, scary guy. So I handed out a tract, and he stopped me. And he was highly intellectual. You could tell he had university. And he stopped me and he said, I'm an atheist. You know, right? Right? And he says, and then he says, do you take atheist tracts? Have you ever received an atheist tract? Apparently there's a such thing as an atheist tract. What's his name? The new atheist, the new modern atheist? Old atheists, they didn't believe in God. The new atheist is trying to talk everybody in what we believe. This guy, Dawson, he wants to stop us. That's his job. That's his agenda. So this guy said, let me give you my tract. And I said, okay, I'll take it. And he's looking for it. And, oh, I don't have one with me. This is, you know, but I'm an atheist. And I said to him, if you became an anti-monarchist, by the way, do you guys know what an anti-monarchist is? An anti-monarchist is someone who doesn't believe in Monica. So I said to him, if you become an anti-monarchist and you give me all this theology and all this argument that there's no such thing as a Monica, and because we found the Dead Sea Scrolls and we proved that there's no such thing in Monica, I said, I beg your pardon. You know, I was in bed with her last night. She dropped me off at the train. I'm going to witness all day, and then she's going to pick me up at the train. And then I said to him, but you don't know her yet. And I'd like to introduce you to her because she's a wonderful person. In the same way, if they argue with me some deep theological argument, all I say is, I know God. You don't know him yet, and I'd like to introduce you to him. Each one of us can do that if you have that vital relationship with God. So Acts 1:8, the other one is... John, I won't go through all of this. I really beat you up. John 16:7-8, it says the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin. So my job is not to argue with you, to prove your... My job is just to share Jesus. You know what? That makes it a lot easier for me. I don't have to have a nervous breakdown. I just share Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit, then I kind of stand back. You know, and they're like... Whew. And you can see it in their faces when it hits them. They're like debating, particularly men. We got so much ego. We got to bring a wheelbarrow to kind of bring our ego. And as soon as a man opens his mouth and says something, and if the other guy says something that he gets the point, he can't admit it, right, guys? You can't. You know, the guy said something in the argument that, whoa, that really, yeah, but I'm not going to admit it. No, but yeah, but yeah, but. Because it's our ego. So we walk around with this wheelbarrow with this ego, right? And so I don't have to worry about that. I just share Jesus and then let Jesus handle. I stand back and expect him to do whatever he did. We had an opportunity to disciple Stu. Stu discipled Mitchell. Mitchell discipled Ethan. And Ramon and I are meeting next weekend with Ethan. Where is that he's from? Okay, that we have to, you know, go see him, and then we're getting time discipling to bring him further. So you know, that's generational thing. Okay, let's go to the next verse. So that's the next toe. John 12:32. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw. So who does the drawing? I don't have to do the drawing. I don't have to convince you of what I'm saying. That's Jesus' job. I'll just share it. I don't have to convince you, you know, of something I believe. That's up to the Holy Spirit, right? So Jesus said, if I be lifted up, so my job is just to lift them up. When you have an encounter, when you get to witness, by the way, the reason I'm sharing this is all of this stuff is going on. When you share the gospel, you're ganging up on the guy. Because it's the Holy Spirit convicting, and Jesus is drawing them, right? Oh, I skipped the Bible, excuse me. So the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, and he rose again according to the Scriptures. Now, have you heard the argument that the Bible can't be trusted because it was written 200 years after the event? Has anybody heard that one argued? Guess what? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 became a Christian creed immediately after the resurrection. The Christians used together and they quote that. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. So it's not a question of the resurrection can't be trusted because it was written 200 years later and people could have added. No, it happened immediately. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. So number one, the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Bible. Isaiah 55:11. What does that say? So shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper wherewith I sent it. Right? If you have a trained pit bull on the leash and the bad guy comes, you don't have to go look at the dog and say, now, this, he's the bad guy and I want you to go bite him. Because with the teeth, they go down and... No, what do? You let the leash go and the pit bull goes. You know, we can trust the word of God is the pit bull. And then Jesus, and then John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. By this shall the world know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So if you love her and people see it, that's you're witnessing. That's a testimony. And if you love, there's somebody in this room who doesn't like somebody else in this room, right? Come on, admit it. The guy really gets on your nerves. Or she gets on you, come on, just be honest with me. Because whenever you have a group, that happens. But if I love them, right, it's a testimony. And the world will see that. And they say, I want to be part of that. That's how my dad got saved. I brought him out to a Navigator meeting. And the guys were all excited and they loved Jesus and stuff. And dad came and says, how do you join this group? I said, it's not about joining a group. It's about accepting Jesus in your heart. And he accepted the Lord. So your life, that love, is evangelism. You ever thought of that? When you love each other and people see it, that's evangelism. Next one is prayer. Go to God. And God answers prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you. And show you great and mighty things that you know not. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. Where was Jeremiah when God said that? You ever notice where he was? I love that verse. But I just noticed the other day where he was. He was in prison. He was in prison. And those prisons aren't like American prisons where you get a TV and you get weights, you know, and everybody looks... You know, they go in fat, you know, and they got nothing else to do. The food is horrible, and they come back looking good. But the prisons in that day were, they, in fact, some of the prisons in those days, they didn't have to feed you. You had to feed yourself. They just put you in a confinement, right? So Jeremiah is in jail, and God says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you know not. So those are the five principles. Number one, the Holy Spirit wants to do the work in you. We need to let him go. Use it. The Bible can be trusted. Just, you know, if somebody says, if you're in a witnessing situation and the person says, well, I don't believe the Bible, then you say, do you know what you say? Let me just share it with you. Just for argument's sake. Let me just share that. Because the verse says in Isaiah 55:11, it's guaranteed. You throw a boomerang, it can be dangerous, because I wasn't very good at it, and they came back. The boomerang is going to do what it's going to do. So when God sends the, if you use the word, it's going to accomplish God's will. And then Jesus is going to do the drawing. Your love is going to make it palatable. They're going to want it. And God answers prayer. So those are the points of the foot illustration. And I when I was doing the illustration, I like country and western. And I was, you're familiar with the song, I Love to Tell the Story? I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Now, I sing horrible, so I'll stop. But I started crying. Men ain't supposed to cry. I drive a truck, I don't cry. Right? I started weeping because I do love to tell the story. I love to share about Jesus Christ. It's just exciting. And when you get to that point where you love to tell the story, we're going to be effective for the kingdom. And then over here, in closing, a lot of people just had a sigh of relief. He's going to stop. In closing, it's probably what you've been waiting for. Before I close, though, let me challenge you who come often, right? What I'd like you to do is not next week, because they'll be ready for you. Wait about 3 weeks. And then Pastor John will preach. And then you go to him at the end of the Sunday. That not, go look over there, go to him, and say, what did Pastor John say? Right? And you try it too. Wait a little bit. Pastor John preaches. And then you go to him and say, oh, by the way, what was it? Or ask your wife, by the way, what did Pastor John talk about? But you sat there and you're like, everybody's all, yeah, I'm agreement. I'm totally in agreement. Yep. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with your neck, maybe. You know, there's a swivel thing here. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I've shared with you, like, for years, I used to preach, and I sat in the back, and everybody, I saw this. Right? And I said, these guys agree with everything the pastor says. But then one day I had the opportunity to get behind the pulpit and share my testimony, and this is what I saw. So I'm going to challenge you to do that in the coming weeks. Wait a couple of times, and then ask somebody who was in the room, what did Pastor John say this morning? Because we ought to be listening. Because I know he goes before God, and he struggles. God, give me a word. I want to speak to these people. I want to bless them. I want to glorify you. And then we're just sitting there going through the paces. I mean, we could, if you're going to go through that, go to the golf course. Pastor John doesn't like me to say that. You know, if you're just going to go through the ritual, go to a golf course. You might get a hole in one, right? But it's more important. Okay, last thing. On the bottom of the illustration, I have a thing called JW. You guys know what JWs are? How many know what a JW is? Jehovah's Witness. Guess what I found out? When the JWs translated their Bible, they did it real quick. And they put in, everybody open up your Bible, who have a Bible, to Isaiah 9:6. This is fascinating. This is so interesting. Because you know the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is God, right? You know that, right? They believe that he's the Son of God, but he's not God. But he has to be God, because if he's not God, he's a martyr. I don't need a martyr to die for me. I need a perfect person to die for my sin and raise again from the dead. You got it? Would you read that? So what is Jesus called? Mighty God. Mighty God. Their Bible says that. Now, if you open up to NIV or you open up to a King James Bible, they'll write it off and say, because that's not the good Bible. That's no good. But you say, do you have a... So they come to your house and they bother you, right? You say, excuse me, could you open up your own Bible, and read Isaiah 9:6? Your Bible says that Jesus is mighty God. How come you don't believe that he's mighty God? Huh? You might be able to help this person to understand that they're in a lot of trouble. And then I got a couple of other verses that the Jehovah Witnesses did that. Anyway, thank you for letting me share. Please pray. I have some of the tracks over there. feel free to take them free. They've already been paid for, and use them. And you can pick them, and then what you do is you go to your aunt or your uncle and say, there was this crazy Puerto Rican this morning, and he wouldn't shut up, but he gave me this track. What do you think about it? So then the pressure's off you. The other thing is our magazine, Discipler Magazine, is available. Please take one. They're over there in the corner. Thank you. Let me close in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you. We do thank you that what a privilege it is that with all the confusion and secularism and the nonsense that people teach and people believe nowadays, that we have the privilege to have the mystery of the ages, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Lord, I just pray that we would be witnesses and we would live it out and live Jesus before the non-believer, and we would take advantage of every opportunity with grace and mercy and wisdom, but we would be effective. In Jesus' name, amen. God gave me a statistic while I was praying. You ready for this? Listen to this. If you're in your 20s, listen to this. If you're in your 20s, there's a 95% chance that you're not walking with God. I'll say that one more time. If you're in your 20s, there's a 95% chance that you're not walking with God. But it gets worse. Ready for this? If you're in your 20s, there's a 95% chance you don't know anybody who's walking with God. Can I do that again? If you're in your 20s, there's a 95% chance that you don't know anybody who's walking with God. I think it's worse than it's ever been. It's worse than it's ever been for these 20-year-olds. So please pray for beautiful Feet Australia that we would be able to share the gospel with them. Thank you.